23 minutes away from 8 a.m. You've got it on 1450 WHTC. It is time for the Garden Party with Jan Musin from DeBryan Seed. Good morning, Janie. How are you?
I'm doing fine. The sun is out today.
It is. We got a little sunshine out there. The moles are frozen in the ground right now. That's a good thing.
No, they're not frozen. They're still working away down there. They're just covered with snow, and you don't see them.
I didn't want to hear that. I was hoping they were little frozen balls under the grass.
No, they aren't. They don't hibernate.
They don't. They still eat away underneath there, don't they?
They do, yeah. And this would be a perfect time to put down those poison worms down in their runs, but we can't see their runs.
Can't see their runs, and you sure as heck can't get through that chunk of snow on your front yard, right?
Yes, especially when the snowplow has that like 12 feet of snow in the front of the house there.
I know all about that.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a phone call, a question for Jan, please call right now, 395-1450, 395-1450. We do have an open phone line, and we're talking about things of, you know, not only getting your yard ready for spring, which is not that far away, Jan, but also about keeping our little flying friends happy and keeping those bird feeders full, right?
That's right. It's real important this time of year, keep the feeders full, but also keep them clean.
Mm-hmm.
Take them inside. If the feed is wet or moldy, get rid of it.
And that can happen real quick.
It can happen really, really quick. A lot of people will go, I have just put, thistle seed in the feeder 3 weeks ago and no bird will touch it.
Right.
And then what you need to do is take it, dump it out, clean out the feeder with a real mild bleach solution, put some fresh feed back in it. It helps the birds. It prevents infections, and it does help the birds. So keep the feeders filled with clean, dry food.
And birds will talk among themselves. It'll get around to the other birds. Nobody will come to your bird feeders anymore unless you clean them out.
There is nobody that will come. But the second you clean them out, I swear, they are just right there yelling at each other. Hey, it's filled over here, and it's good food.
It's filled. Hey, we have a phone call. Good morning. You're on the Garden Party with Jan. How are you? Good morning, WHTC. Who have I got on the line? What's your name? Oh, looks like they hung up, Jan. Oh, well, if we have another person that would like to call in, you can do that right now, 395-1450. And talking about bird feed and bird seed, you've got some specials going on, I hear.
Yes, you bet. This week, it's Jan's No Waste Special.
I like
that. Is on sale. It's 20-pound bags, $15.98. There's no shelves. There's no fillers. It is just food that the birds will eat, so there's no mess underneath there.
Uh-huh.
And the birds love it. It's got suet in it. It's got little it's got black oil, the inside of the sunflower seeds. My birds absolutely adore it. It's a great food to fill your feeder with. And remember, you're just paying for food. You're not paying for the shells, you're not paying for anything else.
And
it's
I can
a
tell
great
you
deal.
A personal story. Our next door neighbor is out of town. They had a death in the family. They went down to Texas actually for a few days. So we're taking care of their parakeets. And Jan's looking at me like, is this a joke or is this true? No, this is a true story. And I've been feeding the parakeets. Me and our kids go over there and take care of the birds. And they use that no-waste type food from you guys. And
yes,
it's great because we feed them every day. I can see that there's absolutely no waste in the feeder or on the floor of the cage. It's really, it makes your feed go a lot further,
stuff.
Doesn't it?
It makes the food go much, much further.
It really does.
And the birds will love it.
We have another phone call coming in. Good morning. What's your first name?
Good morning, Viv.
Hi, Viv. Do you have a question for Jan Musin?
I just was looking out my window and had probably 20 or 30 robins that are kind of silly sitting in my tree. What can I do to help them out?
Actually, you can put out, there are the freeze-dried worms, mealworms that you can put out for them. They also will eat, there's something called bluebird nuggets that you can put out. Or actually our no waste that we just talked about, it's got those suet pellets in it. They love that too.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Good advice, Jan Musin. All right, 395-1450 if you have a question for Jan. It is the Garden Party Midwinter Edition. It goes on.
It goes on and on. It never ends.
That's right. And, of course, some winters we see a lot of pine siskins. What are those all about?
Some years you have all kinds of red poles at your feeder or pine siskins, mm-hmm, and red-breasted nuthatches. And other years we see zero.
Really?
And the reason for that is the pine cone production in Canada.
Okay, wait a minute. You need to elaborate on that. How does that affect us down here in Michigan?
Evergreen forests in Canada.
Right.
Some years they produce just an overabundance of pine cones, and that's like their number one food.
Okay.
And when there's an abundance, they all stay a further north.
They just stay up there in the northern tip. Really?
When it's a bad year for them, we see them down here.
So is it the colder the winter, the more of those?
It doesn't really seem. Last year we saw a lot of them. This year we're not seeing very many of them.
Okay.
So they must have had a good year for the the pine cones up there. Uh-huh. But also you'll see more eagles, hawks, and things like that also that will come down, and owls.
Oh, really?
Because it also affects the small mammals, like the little chipmunks and the mice.
That those birds prey
on. They will die out if there isn't enough. So then the big birds that are predators fly further south. So that's when we see the snowy owls and the great gray owls and things like that.
Which we haven't really seen much of this year. I haven't heard many people talk
about
that at all.
No, we have not. There must be plenty of pine cones up there. But we've had a lot of people ask about that. Of how come I don't see any red poles this year? Or how come I don't see this? And there is a reason, and it's all the pine cones up in Canada.
There's nothing cooler than hearing an owl on a cold winter night.
Oh, isn't that cool?
I've only experienced that a few times, but it is really a neat thing.
Yeah, I don't get owls by my house, but I have a lot of hawks by my house.
Oh, really?
And they sit on the neighbor's top of their house.
Yep.
And these hawks, and I've got a great big lake in my backyard, and they come down, and I've actually seen them fishing in the lake.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is so cool to watch those birds.
Try to get some video of that and send that to me. I'd love
yeah,
to see
okay.
that.
It usually comes out of the blue of all of a sudden, whoa, there's something just flew by
me. Yeah, what was that? What was that blur?
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking about ice melt over the past few weeks, of course, in the middle of winter. That's a big, big subject, and you've got some of the environmental friendly ice melt. Tell us about that.
Yes, we do. It's easier on the landscape. It's easier on your concrete. It doesn't hurt the pet's paws at all. And it doesn't track in near as much. That's number one with me right now.
Me too.
Hate it, especially when I was on my scooter and on my crutches. That's
all
I would just...
Over.
Yeah, I would just all over the house.
They tend to slow you down a little bit, don't they?
Yeah.
Stopping your tracks.
But so this stuff works much better. It works even at the cold temperatures. So we do have ice melt that works at 6 degrees, folks. Don't worry about that. If you don't want to, don't use the rock salt. That's the one that's a little harder on the environment, and it doesn't melt.
Well, some of the older thinking, too, says if it's below, 20 degrees, don't even use that kind of stuff because it won't work. But we have those things now.
We have those things
and
now.
And they're safe for,
that
for
are
the environment,
safe
which
for
is
the
huge.
Environment, safe for your bushes. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah, but I'm just going to – there's a couple of tips for using it. Once you spread it out thinly and evenly over the surface, and once it starts to melt, take a shovel and clear it down to the bare concrete
that's
or pavement.
That's the time to scrape it down.
Yes. Yeah. Now, last weekend when we got the 4 inches of snow, I can't tell you how many people I saw just go out there with all kinds of ice melt rather than shoveling.
Just put it on top of the snow.
And it does melt. But then it melts down to this slush that's even harder for we people with canes and crutches to walk through.
That will eventually refreeze. I mean, it's only going to stay hot for so long.
Yes, get out there with your shovel and get it out of there.
Looks like we have the phone call coming in. Good morning. Did you want to be on the garden party with Jan?
Yes, I did.
What's your first name and where are you from?
My name is Debbie and I'm from Zealand, and Jan actually knows me. I'm in DeBron.
Yes, hi, Debbie.
You recognize my voice. Anyway, could you talk about water a little bit and birds in the winter? And if there's an easy way to keep the water from freezing, or do you just have to run in and out with water constantly?
Well, I'm too cheap to buy a bird bath heater. Like, I know Brent has one.
I bought one from you, Jan. You don't even have one?
I don't have one. But I sit every morning, I bring out a pitcher of water that I put in my bird bath.
Okay.
And by noon, it's probably frozen stiff. But the birds know that I go out there every morning to do this.
Sure.
So they're there right away early in the morning.
Okay. So they tune right into your schedule.
They seem to go to my schedule, and they get mad those days that you sleep in just a little bit longer.
They start pecking at the window and ringing the doorbell.
They're just making
all
kinds of noise.
It could get ugly.
But honestly, Debbie, that's what I found to be probably the easiest, because I had a bird bath, and I thought, this works for me. I'm out there usually filling the feeder anyway.
Because I did not want a heater in a bird bath either. And I know some people that have even told me they don't seem to work as well as they'd like them to. So this is fine. I can do that every morning.
Yes.
Well, and I can tell you, too, if you do decide to purchase one, or if somebody gets one for a gift for you, they do work. I bought one from DeBrian's over Christmas for my wife.
Okay.
And it's a real low voltage. It keeps the water just above freezing.
Okay.
And I've not electrocuted myself yet. I'm still here to talk to you. So,
good news.
So far, so good.
Have not been cooking in the...
Good news.
Yeah, so they do work. If you go to DeBrian's, they can lead you in the right direction on that.
Okay, Thank you so much.
Sure thing.
All right. Thanks for calling into the garden party. 395-1450, Jan. We have just a couple minutes left. Let's talk about roof melt. Those tablets you toss up there.
Yes. We're getting that. That's the time of year where it's, the snow builds up and then it turns to ice. And then you have to get up on the roof and shovel it off. And then you fall off and then you break many bones. You don't want to go there, folks. So this is so much easier. You stand on the ground. No ladders involved. You just stand on the ground and toss it up on the roof.
No plugging in anything. You see some of these people that have the kind of plug in, they hang along the gutters.
Heat tapes,
yeah, heat tape, and
okay.
You don't have to do any of that.
You had to remember last fall to put those out there and make sure they're working.
Yeah.
So if you didn't do that last fall, now is not the time to put those out there.
This seems like a much simpler solution.
And that actually is harder. The heat tapes are harder on your roof than the tablets are safe on your shingles.
Yeah.
It is easy. You just toss it up there. I do this every winter. I've got one spot that I throw those up there. And even I can do that.
Let's talk real briefly, too, before we run out of time here, about the bitter cold that's coming down, more coming our way, the polar vortex. Polar vortex, as they call that. Tell us more. Is that going to be affecting our landscape plants in any way for the spring?
I talked to some guys at Michigan State, and they really don't think it's going to have too much effect on any of our landscape plants. Because mainly we've had cold temperatures all along. Our plants have gotten used to the cold temperatures. And there's a blanket of snow out there that insulates them.
Oh, really?
Now, do be on the lookout next spring once it warms up and the snow starts to melt. You might see a snow line on your plants where it's dead above and nice below. You'll see exactly where the snow line was.
Really?
That's a possibility on some of your more tender plants.
The more tender, yeah.
Japanese maples have a tendency to do that.
Okay.
But it should be, they're seeming to think that's really not going to be too much of a problem. The good thing, emerald ash borers might have frozen.
I was thinking maybe that would be a good byproduct of all this cold air. Those little bugs maybe freeze right in the tree and
boom, they just fall
out in the spring.
That's good for us this coming year, but the ones that survived are now the super bugs.
The super borers.
Yes. But this coming year might be a good year for
that. We don't want to bore anybody with this stuff anymore.
That's right.
395-1450. Thanks to everybody that has called in. And if you have another question, you can still call Jan. She can take your question off the air at 395-1450. Thank you so much. Will you join us again next week?
Of course I will.
Super. Plan on having you here. It's the Garden Party brought to you by DeBryan Seed with our very own Jan Musin on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station. Stay close. WHTC Market Watch is coming up, and we'll see how cold it's going to get and how much snow we've got on the way for the next couple of days. Holland's hometown forecast is on the way as well. Thanks.
If you have a car question or need automotive advice, we're here for you. The place to tune in when you need to tune up. We're Russ and Shannon, the Motor Medics. 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.
Six degrees in the Tulip City. Kind of chilly as we get you started on this 21st morning of July. I am Brent Allen. Jan Musin in with the garden party a few minutes ago, and Jan refuses to leave. She just won't go. You want to talk about what?
A fungus gnat.
Fungus gnats? What? You think people really want to hear about fungus gnats?
They do have. There is a problem like that, especially if you have a greenhouse or if you've got a bunch of plants going. Those are those annoying things that are flying around in the air and you don't know where they're coming from.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about fungus gnats. I don't like those
things. And we do have little sticky traps that they get trapped on.
Okay.
But at Michigan State, they did a study. Now, I have not a clue of how they came up with this, but they found out that bounce dryer sheets put around the plants repelled the fungus gnats.
Really?
Yes.
Do they tear them up in little strips or something?
No, actually, they just laid them out around the plants.
Oh, my God.
And that repelled the fungus gnats, but they said it still doesn't, that doesn't make up for good sanitation and keeping up. Things neat and clean.
And
you can't just take a box of bounce and throw it around.
Well, I would think a byproduct of that would mean your gnats would be very soft and smelling good, too, at the end of the day.
I think they would smell very, very good, but why in the world did they ever come up with that?
And you wonder who in the heck came up with that idea. Let's try it. Let's try doing this with fungus gnats. Or maybe it was just an accident and they found out they were running the other way.
Maybe had one of those bounce, dryer sheets cling to their clothes and it dropped in the in the greenhouse or whatever, and they also know, hey, this plant is not affected by fungus gnats.
Now, who did this study again?
Michigan State University.
Oh, really?
My alma mater. Yes, I'm very proud of them for this.
I'm a Michigan fan, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm zipping it right now. I want to say something. It was a joke there, Jan.
I know.
Oh, that's amazing, though. So they did a study, and that's what they found out.
And that's
right?
What they found out.
So the problem with fungus gnats as we head through the latter part of winter into spring.
Yeah.
And get out the bounce dryer sheets.
Actually, the adults that are flying around really aren't doing any harm. It's the little larvae that hatch in the soil. They eat the plant roots, so we really don't like them. But
okay.
If you can kind of repel them, that, you know, the adults, and they don't lay eggs. So that's always good.
Well, there you go. If people have questions, they want to contact you directly over to Brian's. What's the phone number they can reach you?
772-2316.
Easy enough. Give it to me one more time.
772-2316.
And tell us again where you're located in Z-Town.
At the corner of Elm and Washington.
Easy enough. All right, Jan. Always good to have you here. You have a great day, and be safe, and soak in some of that 6-degree sunshine out there for me.
Hey, I need some vitamin D, so I think I'll do that.
All right, sounds good. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet.